Acts 22. Amen. Acts 22. And we'll just start there for our scripture reading. And we'll just go to different places. I don't know how many places I'll go. I don't have anything written down. So we'll just go investigator, they'll say, we're going to go where it leads us, where the evidence will lead us. So we're going to go this morning where the Spirit of the Lord would lead us. Amen. In the Word of God. Amen. Rather than going the normal way of most ministers. I know more and more it's getting that way. And I'm not critical of it. But it's just not my, what did they say, not my forte and not my way of doing things. Just write it down, go turn from place to place and read it off to you. Amen. If I try to do that, I sure can't get anointed. It just don't seem to be there. Seem more like going to school rather than coming and seeing what the anointing of God will do. Amen. So we're in Acts chapter 22. Amen. And there's a certain verse in here I want to read verse 14 where Paul talked to Ananias talked to Saul about being chosen to know the will, that thou shouldest know his will, you know, chosen to do it. And the reason I feel maybe this would be the will of the Lord, I had a dream last night, amen, I feel like maybe it was the Lord answering some things. You know, in serving God, you always want to fill out, Lord, what's your will here, what's your will there, and you want to know you're in the will of God. So I was wondering, you know, how can we know the will of God, and how come some may know the will of God and others may not? I don't understand all this, you know. I know it's predestination. But I had a dream last night. And in the dream, Brother Brown came to me. And somehow or another, it seemed like he just read my mind as to what I was thinking about knowing the will of God. And he drew three circles. And he says, I'll explain it to you. So he explained it backwards from what I would have thought, see. Amen. I'll show you as we go. He said on there, says, this circle number one is that you were ordained or predestinated to know the will of God. And said the next circle is you realizing that you're ordained to know the will of the Lord. He said that sets your spirit right to begin to look to God for inspiration and leadership as to what the will of God is. Said you realize you were predestinated, and now you knowing that, the second realm, you knowing that you're predestinated to know the will of God, then that opens you up to listen to God to direct you into His will. And he said this third circle is God with these other two, then God can reveal His will to you. Now, I would have took it like this. I would say, first, God reveals His will. And second, we realize that. And then third is because we were predestinated. But he went right the other way, and I think that's the right way. Because everything of God's ordained, and Brother Brian always did things in three. Amen. And I find out that he was right the way he was thinking. Because what he was telling me is so simple, it falls right into play. Because he said, circle number one, you are predestinated to know the will of God. See, that's what God did back there before the world began. He said, secondly, you come into the realization that you were predestinated to know the will of God. But that still don't give you the will of God, see. Knowing that you were predestinated to know it, knowing that you come into the realization that I can know the will of God, and it's a part of my inheritance to know the will of God, but still that's not the will of God. See, but then that gets you in shape to look for the will of God. Knowing that you're predestinated, you realize it, that knowledge come to you, I can know the will of God. Amen. Then the Lord began to reveal to you His will. Amen. And you'll find yourself absolutely in the perfect will of God. Amen. Because you can believe God for it. If you realize you were predestinated to do it, amen, that was God's part. He predestinated. You know you were predestinated. You realize then, in coming to the realization of that, you look to Him. And knowing, amen, that certain things happen, it's the will of God. Amen. That's in your personal life. But now, in the plan of salvation, the plan for His wife, His church, amen, then He gives the gospel, hallelujah, and He lays the gospel out, and He makes you partakers of the gospel. Praise God. And He has, in the days of Paul, He had a man there to introduce to the Gentile world about the wife, the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. So I'm going to take a thought here this morning on the bride of Christ is chosen to know His will. The bride of Christ is chosen to know His will. Now, the reason I'm using the word bride here is that just before marriage, sometimes a lady can be called, that's his bride-to-be or his bride. And just after marriage, they'll say, this is my bride. But then as the marriage takes place, it becomes into a different realm. Amen. And it becomes, rather than bride, you don't use the word bride, but this is my wife. Amen. If I introduce Barbara to somebody, I don't say, this is my bride, amen, but this is my wife, amen. So that's the reason I'm using the word bride, because we're going to interchange and switch it over here, amen, from being just a bride, a virgin introduced to Christ, and show you how that God, in the early times, sent a message. Amen. He ordained a certain man to know the plan. Now, when we read in the Word of God, we find Paul is the only one now that spoke like this. Amen. Till the others begin to catch on and get the message, then they all spoke the same thing. But Paul was the one that said, I would that you all speak the same thing, have the same mind. He said, these things you've heard me say. Said, go teach others that they may teach others to say the same thing. Amen, because the gospel has to be one. There cannot be a differentiation in the gospel, say. Amen. And so God used one man named Paul to put this ministry in. The fivefold ministry started working out right from there. Amen. And he began to preach things such as being baptized into the body of Christ, such as being translated in out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and such as being a member of the body of Christ, and such as being bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. Now, no other writer in the Bible wrote like that. No other writer in the New Testament wrote like that. Amen, because Paul had a specific job. Amen. It was to get a virgin church married to Christ. Hallelujah. But we see just before God knew what He was doing. Paul laid the foundation for it. God took him off scene. Amen. But He said, I will restore. Amen. It's come back today. And we're not looking. When we look in the Word of God, we're not looking to be a virgin church. but we're looking to be the wife of the Lamb. Because the Bible says His wife has made herself ready. Amen. And when Paul talked about the bride, he said, I have engaged you or espoused you as a chaste virgin. So that was a fivefold ministry to get that job done under the leadership of St. Paul. Amen. Then the church went off the scene, and there was a great transitional period through seven church ages. But now it come back again for marriage. Amen. Hallelujah. When that apostolic office will be restored, amen, which it has been, and there come forth a message, and others begin to pick it up, and there will be one mind, one accord with all the ministries, and God has chosen some, amen, to be partakers of it. Paul said, you're partakers of my grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, as we begin to read the word here, those are some of the things that we're thinking on. So I want to read here about Paul, how he was on his way to Damascus. Now I'll just pick up, I believe I'll begin reading verse 1 here, because I like it all and I can't decide exactly where to start to get the story leading up to the verse that I want to read. Paul's speaking to the Jews here in Acts 22, and I'll begin with verse 1. And it says, my brethren, or men and brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense. He was defending himself as to what he was preaching and what he was doing, which I now make unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silent. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew. That's his natural. He's bringing in his natural here, showing he was just like them, but God did something for him. Born in Tarsus, a city of Caesarea, yet brought up in the city, in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the fathers, the law of the Father, and was zealous towards God, as you all know. Now he's showing here, now he was very religious. We could say he belonged to the church. We could say he was a real one that gets things done, you know. Amen. He thought he was doing the will of God. Amen. And God let him go so far. But I want to show you how God works to bring you into His will. Amen. Certain things happen. And Paul, when he started to Damascus, he thought one way. Amen. But when he got there, by the time he got there, he was a new man thinking different. Amen. That's what God can do. You can come to church thinking one way. Amen. And leave with a transformation of your whole thinking, your soul, your spirit, and walk out those doors a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Or you can come in being a denominational person, belonging to some church or something like that, and walk out that door, amen, and say, I've got to get out of that thing, because it's not the truth. Amen. So that's kind of what happened to Paul here. And verse 4 says, and I persecuted this way unto death. Amen. God used him as an apostle there. He persecuted this way unto death, and his life weren't something you'd write home about before conversion, here we would say, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. He called none. He had such a zeal. He wanted to stomp this out. They were teaching something contrary to what the law said. So he was going to stomp it out one way or the other. Amen. He was, and the Bible says one place he was breathing out threatening. That's the ninth chapter of the book of Acts. Breathing out threatening. In other words, he was a fellow you didn't want to be around. Amen. But he changed, and you read in Colossians, in Philippians, how he brought in the love of God and all that, to be in love and kindness and so forth. He changed so much. Amen. It weren't a question, reckon Paul got it or not. Do you reckon Paul really got a revelation? Amen. No, he turned totally around completely. Amen. And he was the one that says that we're dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. That's all he could talk about. Amen. That was his mind. That's why he thought about, thinked about. And he told us, think on these things. Amen. Salvation is real. It's not something that we come to church to hear a message and go on our way. No, this is something you think about, you talk about. Amen. It becomes your very own life because you're dead and your life is hid with Christ. Amen. In God. And Paul said, when Christ come, who is your life? Amen. Christ is your life. Nothing else in life really has a lot of consequences. Amen. Just serve Jesus, love Him. Amen. And walk with Him. And that is your life. Hallelujah. That's what you talk about. That's the thing that's on your mind. Amen. And many of these other things don't matter a whole lot. And you take heed that you don't let a lot of things deviate you from getting your mind on the Lord and thinking on the things of the Lord. And there's many things that can do it. Amen. It can be your family. It can be your friends. It can be your job. It can be many, many things that you got to guard against. Amen. Put it first and foremost in your life. Amen. And you don't have any trouble doing that. That is what you naturally do. And if you get deviated from it, you're not going to feel good about it. Hallelujah. How many knows it? Amen. There's certain things can cause you to deviate from it. And I'm not talking about sinning, but getting your mind on, getting you involved in other things and so on. You can't keep your mind on the Lord like you want, can't study like you want, and can't be with the Lord like you want to be. Many things can get you led that way. I'm not talking about getting out and sin. I'm just talking about getting your mind sidetracked a little bit from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, don't be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. My peace I leave with you. And we're living in a world today where there's a lot of things can cause you to be troubled about different things. And those are tricks of Satan, see. Amen. Because God is going to have a people, and He has one now, that's not going to let a lot of these things hinder them. Amen. I tell you, that's just the way it is. If you're the bride of Christ, you're married to Him, everything else, I know we got to live in the world, we got to make a living, you got to do this. Amen. But I'm noticed more and more as we get letters and so on, people, they're traveling and they listen to these messages and as they go along and keep their mind on the Lord. Amen. We got a letter from Brother Enoch sometime back. He's telling he took his wife over to the market there. Amen. But while she was in the market there, amen, he was listening to one of these messages. And different ones tell me, while I travel, I listen to the messages. Amen. Because God has given us a message. Amen. As it was in the days of Paul, there was one message, not two. Amen. And anybody that preached contrary to that one message in the days of Paul weren't sharing in the grace that Paul had. Amen. Even got to the place he said, mark them that go contrary. Amen. But now as the wife becomes more united to Him, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, spirit of His spirit, mind of His mind. As I preached over in Colombo, Zambia, I preached the bride is using the mind of Christ, operating under the mind of Christ, by the mind of Christ. And that's what the church is doing today. It's operating with the mind of Christ. Paul said, let this mind be in you which were in Christ. And he says, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God? I'll tell you, we've been united with Him. We're heirs with Him. We're joint heirs with Him. So we claim the same thing He's got. Hallelujah. Amen. I've got no more sins than He's got. Hallelujah, because He took all my sins and took them to the cross, and then He took all of His righteousness and put it upon me. Hallelujah. Praise God, so I can look to Him, I can believe Him, I can know that I'm going to be in His perfect will. Hallelujah, even though I don't know the will of God for tomorrow many times, but tomorrow's not here. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof, one said, which has the meaning like what you need today. His strength for the day is mine all the way, and all that I'll need for tomorrow. You may not know what you'll need for tomorrow, but if your hand's in the nail-scarred hand, amen, when tomorrow get here, I can assure you of one thing. I can guarantee you this on the basis of the Word of God. Amen. When you get to tomorrow, He'll be there. Amen. How many knows it? Amen. So going on down, Paul, he was on the way to Damascus. Now, I want you to see the rough type character he was. Even though he's very religious, yet he didn't mind getting rough with people. And he said he was on the... Verse 5 says, as also the high priest does bear me witness. These things he's saying was... And all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. That's Christians now. Amen. This religious realm, and that's what they're doing today. It's basically the same. This organization away. Amen. Some of these big meetings, if you think it's not so, you get up and testify about what God has done. You testify about being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You tell them about serpent seed a little bit, something like that. Amen. Or that there's no such thing as an eternal hell. Amen. You tell them there ain't but one God. Amen. There ain't but one church, and it ain't a denomination that come out of her. You know, I tell you, Brother Brown had a vision, and he was going to the Pentecostal preaching. And they was just so good to him. And he had a vision, because God's dealing with him on deeper truths, you know. He had a vision there of a cat. He rubbed that cat and it just brrrr. You know the little fuss they make. I can't impersonate that. But the little thing, and he said, that's the nicest little cat. But a boy spoke, said, now rub it the other way. So he began to stroke it the other way. That cat turned around and came at him and said, it became a total different cat. And he said, that's your Pentecostals that you're preaching to. Amen. And it happened the same way. The Assemblies of God, he said, wrote him a letter when he preached on hell wasn't eternal and serpent seed. They wrote him a letter and said, we'll have no more to do with your ministry. Amen. So that's what Paul, he was one of those type, and he got a new revelation. Amen. He really saw Jesus as Jesus was. Hallelujah. And he began to preach it. Amen. That's what this is all about. He's telling why and what happened, trying to give a testimony to help these Jews, show them that I was right where you were at, but look what God did for me, say. Amen. So he says here, verse 6 here, and it came to pass as I made my journey, was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone around from heaven a great light around about me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice. God can give you a voice. Amen. So Paul was going here, and why persecute thou me? And they that were with him saw the light, saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke. Amen. They couldn't understand what was said, see. Amen. That's the way a lot of people is. They can see some light or something or get excited, but there's a voice you gotta hear. How many knows it? The voice of the Son of God. And then it goes on here, and I said, what shall I do, Lord? Now, that's what we do sometimes. What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go to Damascus, and it shall be told thee all things which are appointed for thee to do. And that happened right here before I went over to Africa 2 years ago. Amen. I was praying, Lord, what should I do? And I quoted this scripture here. Go into the city and it shall be told thee what to do. So I went over there, and Barbara be the witness. Me and her both looked at each other. Amen. As a minister got up, and he could speak some English, this minister could. He says, I was reading in the Word, and I don't know. I was reading in Romans, but all of a sudden, the Lord just brought me over here where it says, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what to do. Said, I don't know what it's for. Said, it may be for some of you. Amen. I've just read it here. It's on tape. I went over there. You can hear it on tape. Amen. Our God is so real today. How many believe it? Amen. He's moving by His Holy Spirit, revealing His Word. Amen. And we will come into the will of God perfectly. We will be married unto Him. We will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to be called up to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. There's a message here for that purpose. Amen. It's called a trumpet. Amen. All right. The next one says, verse 11, and when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them which were with me, I came to Damascus. Amen. And verse 12 says, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report, and all the Jews which dwell there. He's buttering up to these Jews that he's talking to just a little and giving his testimony. Verse 13 says, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Paul, or Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. I'll tell you, that's something, isn't it? That's the healing power of God. A blind man say, receive your sight. Amen. Immediately I saw. I'll tell you, God is able in this hour to have people immediately see this great truth, say. Amen. Without having to hear it for 5 years, we ain't got that kind of time. Amen. To try to find out all this. No. Amen. Receive your sight in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Then verse 14. And he said unto me, and he said, the Lord our God, the Lord God of our fathers, watch now, here's the text message, has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will, and that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be a witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarry thou? Arise and be baptized, and washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. And there's so much of this. But I want to just skip over here to verse 21 rather than reading all this. It says, Paul talking about being in the temple, he said, and he's talking about the Lord coming. And he said unto me, depart, that's out of Jerusalem, out of the temple, for I will send thee hence unto the Gentile. Now I want you to know, when God struck him down also, God told me he would be a light to the Gentiles, I'll send you to the Gentile. Amen. And then in the last chapter of the book of Acts, he said he will send you to far away to a people that will hear you. The Jews wouldn't, but the Gentiles did. Amen. And as Paul began to come into the message that God's ordained for him to come into, there was one thing that if you read, you can't help. If you read it with any amount of being sensible and reasonableness, I'll say, amen, you cannot help but see this man's going different from all the others. This man's going different from what Peter taught. Amen. And the difference is not so much contradictory, but it's going beyond. Amen. Because he began to talk about something no others talked about. Amen. He began to talk to the church as being her and being a virgin. Amen. And don't let the serpent beguile you as the serpent beguiled Eve. He said, I've espoused you to one husband. Now, you'll not find Peter talking like that. Amen. Peter didn't espouse the Jews because they were the brethren. Amen. They're a different part of what this is not. They were not the bride. They were the brethren of Christ. Although they took the family name, which the name of Jesus Christ, the brethren do. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. But here Paul began to bring into a different level. Amen. He said concerning his ministry, Romans 11:13, he said, I am the apostle to the Gentile. I magnify my office. Amen. And then he began to say, these things you've heard me say, go ahead and do them. And then he began to preach about a fivefold ministry and how it would perfect the church, amen, and bring the church into unity, amen. And there was a fivefold ministry, though it didn't come into fullness, just like many things Paul wrote, it's foundational. And Paul looked at it many times as a finished product because he not one time saw the church falling away and seven church ages coming. Amen. You'll never find in any of his writing that he had even the slightest indication that the church would fall away. He expected the church to be married to Christ in his day. And when he got through writing, there was no more scripture written for 30-something years. And that's when God put John on the Isle of Patmos. Amen, as we've been touching. And John began to write. He began to explain why Christ didn't come. And then John began to tell the visions he saw. And one of the visions, amen, he saw that city coming down as a bride, a wife. Amen. And then he, in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, he says, the Lamb's wife has made herself ready. Now, I want you to notice the difference in the language. Amen. The language goes from bride to wife. The language goes from virgin to wife. Amen. Because the foundational part, it was introducing the virgin to Christ. God has a fivefold ministry there, though it didn't come into the fullness of it as it began to fall away. Amen. He's going to bring it back, and there's going to be a fivefold ministry in this hour. There's going to be apostolic leadership, just like it was in the days of Paul. And another level of this fivefold ministry is going to come into being and is now. Amen. Just as that started with Paul in that day, and God let it fall away, and it was God's plan for it to go in the ground, stay through the winter months, and come forth in this last day. Amen. Because he wanted to get those that was predestinated for every age. Amen. It went into the dark age, just like when sap goes down in a tree. Amen. The sap stays down in the roots. It hid for the winter months. Amen. Especially here in the United States where we have the winter and summer. Amen. And it looked like that tree's dead. Amen. The tree's not putting forth any leaves. The tree's not putting forth any buds. The tree's not putting forth any fruit. Amen. But wait till spring of the year. Amen. There is no way to stop that sap from rising. There's no way to stop that leaves from going on the tree. There's no way to stop it from blooming and bringing forth fruit, because that's what it was supposed to do. Amen. Praise God. So God let the church go through that. But he said when he brings it back, the fivefold ministry is going to be in perfection. Let us go on to perfection. Hallelujah. He said when it comes back that we would be bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, hallelujah, spirit of his spirit, glory to God, and we'd be the very wife of Christ, not the virgin that was engaged to Christ, hallelujah, but the very wife of Christ. Amen. And the very wife of Christ is chosen to know the will of God. Amen. Someone asked me, said, how can we know we're the wife of Christ? Can you hear the bridegroom talking to you? Hallelujah. The reason that was some got engaged of Paul in days of Paul, hallelujah, he went out with a message to get her engaged and would have got her married. He said that I may present you to Christ as a chaste virgin to be his wife. But see, God knew how far Paul was to take it. And God knows how far each one of the messengers brought it. Brother Brown brought it to a certain point. God cut the message off. Then a different minister brought it to a certain point till he got here at the end time when he got the same type apostolic office. Amen. And all these other ministries, glory to God, is represented within that until God calls them and God get the ministry all straightened out, speaking the same thing. Evangelist is not evangelist unless he speaks the same thing the apostle preached. A pastor is not a pastor unless he preaches the same thing the apostle preached. Amen. A teacher is not a teacher unless he teaches the same thing the apostle teach. Hallelujah. And on down the line. In the days of Paul, these things you've heard me say, you speak the same thing, and the grace of God will be with you. The Lord will be with you. And he said, you're partakers of my grace. Amen. The wife has the voice of the bridegroom, amen, the husband speaking to her, leading her, and she can hear the voice because she's predestinated to know the will of God. Hallelujah. There's a people in this hour that's predestinated to hear this, because the Bible talks about the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And that began under Brother Brown's message. Amen. There was a people heard it and rallied to it all over the world. There's people believing Brother Brown. And that's good. I do too. But they stopped there. Amen. But Brother Brown taught from the standpoint of an Old Testament prophet many times when he would say the word don't come to nobody but a prophet, which you don't find that in New Testament. Amen. He says the seventh angel finished all the mysteries of the Bible. That's what people say, but you don't find that in the Bible. Amen. It said this seventh angel will finish the mystery singular, which was the mystery of that seven church ages. The church fell away and went through seven church ages. The seals cleared that mystery up. Amen. But then he said the bride will be married to Christ. Amen. And read in the book of Revelation, his wife had made herself ready. Amen. Dressed as a bride adorned for her husband, his wife, see. Amen. So God began to move in that early age, and there was a people they couldn't help but hear. Hallelujah. There was a people that heard what Paul preached. Amen. And they believed it. They rallied to it. Hallelujah. And there was a church that got engaged to Christ. Amen. And it was the Gentile bride, not the Jewish church there in Jerusalem. He couldn't do anything else because he was that apostle to the Gentile. He was sent by Almighty God to get a church engaged. Amen. And a new marriage was coming, and he thought he would be the one. Amen. And he saw and knew by revelation there'd be a resurrection of the dead, and we would be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. He thought he would be the one. Amen. Because he said, we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord, not going to hinder them sleep, but the dead's going to come forth. Now that we is here now. Hallelujah. Amen. You're that we. Hallelujah. That'll be changed in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. As you've been married to the Word, you've ate the little book. Glory to God of Revelation 10. And you're the very wife of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And how come you're that? You were chosen to be that. You were chosen to know these things. And since you know that, you know there's to be a wife. See, now God can begin to let you think like a wife. God can let you think like that. He can put the revelation upon you. As Brother Brown said in the dream, you were predestinated to be there. Then you come to the realization that you were predestinated. That puts you in the shape for God to begin to reveal His will to you, because you know you were predestinated to it. Your mind's been seasoned for it. That's why we preach the Word of God. That's why Paul said, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some, for each week." Amen. God give new truth, new revelation. And if you stay out of church 6 weeks, amen, and come back, it's going to take a while for you to catch up, see. Amen. But each week, this is like a big chain and a link in a chain each week. And every week, it's right on top of the other. Amen. If there's a missing link in it, amen, it's going to be hard to get the chain to work, isn't it? Amen. Because this truth, amen, started back there with Paul by introducing a Gentiles. And that's one thing I want to emphasize, and I have been much lately. Not Jews, not the church at Jerusalem, not the 12 apostles. Amen. The 12 apostles were charged strictly to go only to the nation of Israel. And the 12 apostles were told that in the millennium, Matthew's 19, their job would be to sit on 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen. Has nothing to do with the bride in the sense of other than they're part of the family. But the bride is entirely different group and Gentile. Amen. And she is called her. Amen. She was a virgin. Hallelujah. Not the Jews. They were the brethren. They're the brethren of Christ. Like Joseph went down in Egypt. And then while he was there, he took a Gentile bride, but later on the brethren came. But the brethren and the bride were not the same. Hallelujah. Paul said in the 15th chapter of the book of Romans, amen, as he began to bring in the Word of God, he says there that Jesus Christ, in His natural form, seed of Abraham, amen, He came to the Jews. Amen. He came to His own, and His own receive Him not. Amen. He came to them. He came to confirm a covenant that what God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and all. Amen. He came and said, "Here I am." God said He would send me. "Here I am, your king." Amen. But the thing is, they weren't looking for it that way. They sat right in, they were right in the church, there sat Jesus. They sung about when the Messiah come. They sung about one day God's going to send a Savior. They sung about it and talked about it and preached about it. And there He sat, and they knew Him not. Now, bring it up to our day. Jesus Christ was here this morning. He wouldn't say it any different. Amen. Because I preached the message over in Zambia about Paul planted, Apollos watered, and all that. I said, a lot of people, all they can see is the preacher. Because some says, "I'm a Paul, I'm a Apollos," and all. That's all right if you see behind them. But if you don't see who's talking through them, amen, you're a carnal, and the only thing you're seeing is a man. Hallelujah. Is that right? But it's the inspiration of God speaking to you this morning, bringing you the Word of God, amen, to complete the wedding. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let me read this to show you that I'm not some, this is not some crazy man with some kind of imagination. This is not the figment of some man's imagination. It wasn't in the days of Paul, but it's the Word. Listen, that we read verse 24 here. Amen. Well, I need to get the last part of verse 23 to get verse 24. Amen. Well, let's just get the whole thing. It says, if you continue in faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard. Who'd they hear it from? Paul and those that heard. And which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Now what? Whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now going on to that verse 24. Who now rejoice in my suffering for you. Now watch this. Here's Christ. Here's Christ manifested in a man. Amen. Incarnating himself in a man to come talk to the church. Amen. And if you'll read that, Paul was whipped, Paul was beat, Paul was persecuted, Paul was rejected, Paul was slanderous. Amen. And everything that could happen to a living human being, he was whipped so many times with 39 stripes. Amen. And the story goes on and on, see. But he said, who now rejoice in my suffering for you? Now watch, this is what I want you. And fill up. Everybody says fill up. Fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my body. Everybody say in my body. In my body, in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Amen. Where have I made a minister according to the dispensation? Now God gave him this a dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Alright, watch. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to the saints. Now see what I'm saying, the mystery, Peter knew nothing about the Gentiles. Amen. Because when God, Peter had the key for the kingdom to open the door. When God sent him to it, he had given three visions. Let a sheep come down three times and speak to him and show him all kind of four-footed beasts. And they were unclean for a Jew to eat. And the Lord says, arise, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. I'm not going to do it because those things are unclean. And the word came, what God's called, what God's clean call not coming on unclean. And it went on till there was some people at the door knocking, wanting Peter to go to a Gentile house. And he did. That's Acts chapter 10. And he went there and began to preach. And the Holy, they had a Pentecost for the Gentiles just like it was for the Jews on the day of Pentecost. And the chapter 11, you go read chapter 11 of the book of Acts. Paul goes back to Jerusalem and every apostle there scold him and said, thou wentest unto the unclean, thou didst eat with them, and shamed him and scolded him and mocked him until he said, what am I to do? Who am I to withstand God? God told me to do it. But he never went back. But God has already struck a man down and said, I want you to go to the Gentiles. And in his body is filled up that which is lacking of the suffering of Christ. Why? Because he was Christ to them. You say, Howard, don't know about that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. I want to show you. Hallelujah. That he was in Christ's stead. Amen. That's what the ministry is today in the church. Amen. As they believe this thing, you're in Christ's stead. In Paul's body was made up the suffering of Christ. In Paul's body, that affliction for his church. Amen. You can see a man. Hallelujah. If you won't think you're having a hard time, somebody. Sometimes people have a little trial. They'll begin to complain about. Just read about Paul. Whipped. Three times, 39 stripes, stoned, cast out of the city, left for dead. Amen. Went into Asia. Not one single person stood with him. He said, only the Lord stood with me. Amen. Then others came along. Some people think Paul had big healing revivals and big things like that. You follow Paul's life. Amen. He was suffering the affliction for the body of Christ. He brought this word no matter what. Hallelujah. Thrown in prison. Him and Silas, they were beat. Amen. Thrown in prison. You know what they begin to do? Did he send no letter? Go tell mama they're mean to me. No. They begin to sing the praises of God. Amen. That prayer, that songs and prayers went up through the ceiling of that old jail. Amen. It went on past the moon. Went on past the sun. Amen. Right to the throne of God. Hallelujah. And God said, listen at that. Amen. The angel said, that's your servants down there. Amen. Now, this is not written like this. I'm just saying this to dramatize it. Amen. But God says, one of you go down and fix that up for me. Amen. Amen. God came down and began to shake that old prison. The doors came open. Not only that, to show you it was a supernatural miracle, those that were bound with chains. Amen. You know what happened? The chains become loose. Everybody was loose and everybody walked out. The jailer, when he finally came to himself, he drew his sword, was about to kill himself. Amen, because if they let a prison go, they would kill him, you know, because their life for it. Amen, but Paul says, do thyself no harm. We're all here. We're not going anywhere. We're having revival. Amen. Then the jailer took and washed the blood off of them, where they were beat and whipped. Amen. Paul said, that which is liking of the suffering of Christ is made up in my body. Hallelujah. For his church's sake, because I'm a minister. Amen. Now, I've got to close out here in just a moment, but let me get a scripture here. I'll begin reading with, let's see, in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, I'll start at verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. We got to realize that we were dead. And he that died for all, that they which should not henceforth live unto themselves. That's what I was talking about earlier. But unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth we know no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more that way. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he the new creature, old things passed away, behold, all things are new, become new. And all things are of God, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, amen, he don't come down here and tell us, we tell you, be ye reconciled to God. And then watch the next couple of verses here. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their transgression unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Not the works Christ did at Calvary. Amen. Committed us the word of reconciliation. He says, now then we are ambassadors. Here's a verse I wanted you to get. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Watch now. As though God did beseech you or teach you by us, we pray. Let me read that again. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, watch, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be you reconciled to God. Amen. That's who we are. Look at me. That's who I am. In Christ's stead. That's who you are in Christ's stead. Amen. Everyone that believes, everyone that's married to Christ by the word, hallelujah, in Christ's stead. And then I can't miss this scripture that I quote so much. We're speaking in Christ's stead. For he has made him, God has made him, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. That we might be, see there? Amen. In other words, he took our sin and gave us his righteousness. Now, Paul said, now, you become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. See, it has to pick up, that ministry has to pick up where it was cut off. Amen. It was cut off here. It picks up exactly and connect to what Paul said. Amen. And it carries on to the wedding. Amen. Into the rapture, into the resurrection of the dead. I can't die because the guy, he predestinated me there. I realize it, and now I claim it, see. Amen. The will of God, amen, is made known to us. We're his wife. We're that part. How do we know it? Because God sent the message to say that. No one in days gone by preached that you're not a virgin but a wife. Amen. Why? It weren't time for it. But now it makes so much sense that we become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, spirit of his spirit, married unto him. Amen. That's the one he clothed with his righteousness, and no one else that I've heard preach much had the revelation that he took my sin, he gave me his righteousness, so I'm as righteous as he is. Amen. Put his righteousness upon me. Now God looks at me as being right. Gotta be to be his wife. Amen. We gotta be the same thing he is. Amen. We're married to him. Everything that he got, we become part of it. And that's including the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Predestinated. See, ordained to know his will. Amen. The wife. See, he predestinates his bride, and she knows it, she realizes it, and she claims it. That's where a lot of people have trouble claiming it. That's why Brother Brown brought in that dream. You're predestinated, you realize, you claim it, and then God gives it to you. Amen. God bless you this morning. Amen. I tell you, somebody said, this is getting good. Well, it is, but it's already been good. Amen. God bless you this morning. Amen. Keep your hands in the nail-scarred hand. Amen. Let your life be a life led for Jesus. Be dead to yourself and let the life of Christ come forth. Don't let nothing, absolutely nothing cause you to be deviate your mind, your thinking. Think on Jesus. Amen. Love him. Listen to the tapes and the Word of God. Read the Bible. Amen. And there's a message for you in this hour, in this day. It hadn't been here before because God brought it down from heaven, and it's read about in the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation. He brought it down from heaven. He gave it to John, which was the type of the wife of Christ, and said, now you eat this. Amen. It went plumb beyond what Paul said. Hallelujah. Because Paul had the message to get us engaged. Amen. And told us about getting married. He thought he was going to be the one to do it. And I thank God he wrote it there so we got a good foundation. He wrote it there, but God took him home. Don't worry about it, Paul. We're picking up right where you left off. And there's a five-fold ministry going into the second or final level of it. Amen. The other one was until we get this place. Amen. We don't have time to get on that again, but God bless you. Amen. I better close. I'll get started preaching again. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you this morning for your love, your goodness and mercy upon us. Thank you for the word today. I pray, God, that you'll take and that you will just bless each one, Lord. Oh, God, and may each one leave this building today, Lord. Amen. And those that are here otherwise, Lord, I pray that they will realize we just didn't come hear a little speech, or we didn't come hear some preacher, as some says, bump their gum. Lord, but we come to hear you speak, and Lord, we believe and we know that you spoke to us this morning. Amen, Lord, and we thank you for it. And Lord, we thank you for reassuring us on that we were predestinated, we were ordained to know your will. Amen, now we claim it as the wife of the Lamb. Oh God, in Jesus' name, now bless each one we pray as we go a separate way for your glory. Amen, 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 amen. I love him. I love him. Because he first loved me, and here's what he did. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Amen. And he made us his wife. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, that's why you got to believe what Paul said. That's the engagement. You got to be engaged, and then you believe this to be married. Amen. God bless you this morning. Amen. I wonder if there's anybody have anything to say before we leave this morning. Praise God. I tell you, it's been good to be here. Amen, 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 amen. Thank God for his leadership. Just thank me and Bob are talking about the will of God. What's the best maneuvering to do? Amen. And knowing the will, see, we're predestinated to know it. Amen. So therefore we claim it, and it will come upon us as we go along tomorrow. The God that's here today will be here tomorrow to lead us and guide us. God bless you. Let us stand.